Welcome to episode 14 of Shards of Light, Voices of the Blind and Vision Impaired, a showcase for the talents of the visually impaired citizens of Virginia. I'm Lamont Crawley, founder and host. My guest today is Jan Flowers. Jan started her career as an interior designer, and she has produced artwork through the years, creating mostly for herself and for others as well, friends and family. Okay, Jan, welcome. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, I got a text the other day saying that you were very excited about coming here today to do the interview.
Oh, yes. Is yes, I am.
Well, what makes you excited about it?
Because I like to share with people who don't know about us, people who are handicapable, and the variety of skills we still can do,
okay,
even though we have some limitations.
Sure thing. Okay, right. And the thing that I have learned in my process of being involved in this project, but also being diagnosed with low vision, is we have the obvious handicap of a vision impairment of some sort. It may be different challenges, but everyone has challenges.
Yes.
And hurdles that they have to negotiate and work through.
You have to learn new ways to do old things.
Okay. Now, you have been blind since 1991.
That's correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Tell us about that. How did all that come about? What led up to it?
I was starting not to open my eyes when focusing. I was only maybe seeing out of one eye and didn't realize it. And I would keep black my eye to see if I could see more clearly. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, I was seeing with less ability. And then I had some headaches also.
Okay.
As time went on, my eyes were closing more frequently.
Okay.
And I had had eye surgery to strengthen my eye muscles years ago. Okay. So I went back to my ophthalmologist, Dr. Lenny Smith, and to see if this was an outgrowth of that surgery.
Okay.
He said, no. He said, this is a brain problem, and I'm referring you to Dr. Harold Young.
Okay.
And then I saw Dr. Smith on Monday. I saw Dr. Young on Wednesday. And he rescheduled me for Friday for details on how he's going to remove something that was up in my brain, not acting right.
Okay, and so he was scheduling you for surgery.
For surgery. He scheduled me for surgery. And he let me know that I needed to report to MCB on Monday.
Okay.
And after 1 o'clock, and they'll start surgery at 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning.
Okay, wow.
And that was around the 31st of March.
And whatever was what is it, a cyst or a tumor? What was on
it
your
was
brain?
A tumor, a golf ball sized tumor.
Okay. And so he went in to attempt to remove it, I guess.
Yes,
and
he did.
And then what happened in that process?
Yes, it was in a B-shaped chasm. So by trying to chisel that tumor out, which was benign, but he touched the optic nerve.
Oh, okay. So he cut it, severed it or something?
Yes, and that took my sight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But 17 hours of surgery.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. So when you came to, obviously there's a big, I would only assume there's a big shock for you.
I came through gradually. I was starting to hear the noise in the room louder and louder and louder. And then I came to myself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see, but I could sit up in the bed and say, I was like, where all am I? And the lady, I heard a little lady clap her hands and come over to me and say, you've been asleep for 5 weeks. We're glad you're awake.
Okay.
And we're going to take you up to a room and get you straight.
I see.
So they did that. And they're going to call your parents and let them know that you're awake.
So how old were you at this time?
I was 34 years old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Man. So you were out for 5 weeks. Now you have this news or this a new awareness that you can't see.
Well, I was figuring that it was just some cloudy stuff in my eyes, that it would be eventually go away.
Okay.
But they were telling me that, you know, its sight has been impaired. Perhaps we're hoping that it will come back. But that's how I started.
Okay. What was that process for you to kind of move on? You know, at some point you had to accept this and decide to carry on, to continue to, I guess, move forward in life, to figure out a new kind of life.
Well, I tell you, one incident, I was kind of in denial at first when I came home, and my dad was worried because I wasn't using the cane and we have steps. But one day, I went into my bedroom and I just couldn't see anything. It was pitch black, and I just went bananas in there because I was so depressed that I really had to accept that I was blind. After that, I was a little depressed about it.
Which is certainly understandable. Further on down the line, you had to pick up those pieces and decide.
So my parents did some investigation with the doctor and all, and they had me to go to daycare at Fifth Baptist Church from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, so to speak, and just sitting around looking at each other. That did not work for me.
Right, I can imagine.
So adult care services was over South Side, and they sent me over there to learn how to use machines, use the talking computer, and be able to move around with my cane and things like that.
Right.
And so that was a step forward.
Okay.
But Dr. Michael Martelli, he's a therapist, and he suggested to my parents that he's forming a support group for people who have had brain injury.
All right.
All types of brain injury. And it was going to be starting. It started in 1999, and I joined that group.
I see.
And I'm still with that group.
Okay, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you found that to be very helpful.
Oh, no question. That's my family away from home.
Okay.
We have a wide variety of reasons people are there.
Mm-hmm.
Strokes and other things that have been caused by the malformations of the brain.
Okay.
And so we have talk group. They read the newspaper to us.
Mm-hmm.
We do cooking group, and we do arts and crafts.
Okay.
And we can go out to lunch. We can be the first 10 to get on the bus. We go out to lunch.
All right. Very good. I'm going to switch gears on you.
Yes.
Since we have that background.
Yes.
Now, let's go back before that. Did you study interior design while you were in college?
Yes, at University of Maryland, College Park, Maryland.
Okay, so that was your major.
Yes, and I also received my master's in it, Master's of Fine Arts in Interior Design from BCU. Yes.
Wow, okay.
Because I wanted the option to teach it, too.
Right, okay, very good. And so when you came out of school, did you immediately go into an interior design business or start one, or what happened there?
I had already started my business before I went to graduate school.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I just continued with what I was doing and trying to increase my visibility in the community and my skills, too.
Right.
So I went from being a consultant at first, and then when they said that they needed to get some furniture, I said, well, let me get my retail license. I can sell you specialty furniture that I'm specifying.
Beautiful.
So that's how I developed that.
Okay. I mean, that sounds very satisfying. Now, talk about your presence down at the 6th Street Marketplace.
Mr. Rouse came and introduced the idea to City Council that we should have a mall downtown, 6th Street Marketplace, what they called it. And I was one of the first tenants.
Okay.
And they gave us a class on how to operate a business for tenants, and I took that class through this program.
Okay.
And my shop was Flowers Nouveau Incorporated.
Okay.
And I sold all things that were related to flowers.
I see. Okay. All right. Now, were you still doing interior design?
I kind of waned off of it a little bit. I had people working there. My brother served as vice president when I first started, and I had some other people to help me as salespeople. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I had to monitor that more than I thought I had
right.
to.
Okay.
So I did some work right. and finished up some right. projects that I had started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the flowers, you know, I think I do remember that shop. Now, the flowers were, I mean, individuals could come in and purchase flowers, but were there businesses that were purchasing from you as well?
Yes. And I sold, we call them silk, artificial trees,
okay.
6 feet trees.
Okay.
So they, instead of having an interior plant contract for live flowers, I could supply them with permanent trees
okay.
that they would not have to maintain. So
right.
that helped me with people coming in from the business district.
Okay, okay. At some point, were you creating your own visual art?
Well, not too much through that time. Good. I did do calligraphy. I had my cards come in blank on purpose
uh-huh.
so that I could do the verse and calligraphy for them.
Okay.
That was some creativity.
Right.
And then I designed the floral arrangements.
Right.
Whether it be in the wall boxes right. that I sold or whether it be something for your centerpiece
okay.
at home.
Okay.
You
now, when you talk about that, you do remind me of when I was in Cleveland teaching at a high school there. During the summer, I was hired to create a art-related careers manuscript, which I accompanied with a game to help mm-hmm. young people explore various mm-hmm. art-related careers.
Well, that was creative.
And so that's what you're bringing back up for me with the flowers, with the interior design. Because oftentimes when you say art, people think of singing, dancing, painting, or whatever. But there's these whole other related fields as well where that creativity comes into play. Did the tumor, at that point in 91, did that disrupt then? Was that the disruption of that earlier business that you had?
I left 6th Street Marketplace after 2 years I was there mm-hmm. from 85 to 87.
Okay.
And then after 87, I did substitute teaching mm-hmm. and worked my interior design business.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I had a few contracts through
okay.
that period of time.
Okay. You said you went to school in Maryland.
Yes.
Oh, University of Maryland?
University of Maryland
right. okay.
in College Park, Maryland.
Okay. After your vision loss, I can only assume that you couldn't do interior design anymore or what?
I did not attempt to go back to that.
Okay.
Because I needed to see the conditions to be able to recommend a good solution.
Right, right.
But I went to a support group, as mm-hmm. I said, for those who had a brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a chance to have a party. So we did have some social time with that,
sure,
too.
Sure, sure. Now, is that support group, is that also part of what is called Club Rec?
That is. And that was what the name of it was back in 1990 when it was formed. And I'm still a member now.
Okay. And
yes.
REC is REC, short for recreation, I
That's
take it.
Correct.
Okay. So Club Recreation, or Club REC as it's known.
Yes.
And you go there to this day.
Yes, I do.
Is it a daily thing or several times a week?
I started out going 2 days a week, Tuesdays
uh-huh.
and Thursdays.
Okay.
But now I go as long as they're open Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And then on Friday we have special events that,
uh-huh.
that we can attend
uh-huh.
there too.
Okay. How many people are involved?
We wanted to stay at 20. We
okay.
started out at 40.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little overwhelming giving everybody individual care. So now we have it set at 20
okay.
for membership.
Now, yes, you talked about this being a very satisfying group, a very helpful group to be a part of.
Yes.
What else does it do for you to help Club Rec?
It built my confidence
okay.
in one angle and social skills.
Okay.
I still fit in.
Right.
And can interact with people.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Then I picked up working on learning how to use a talking computer
uh-huh.
through the program.
Okay. When you said learn how to use that, is that something, do you use the keyboard and then the computer talks back out? Is that, what's the
Well, deal every time, if I hit a key, it'll tell me what key I'm hitting. ASDF, JKL, semicolon. It will speak it to me.
Okay.
As I'm typing out a word, it'll speak it to me.
Okay.
But I had typing skills since fifth grade.
Right.
So they came in handy when the computers came out.
Okay. At some point, while you're involved with Club Rec, you're moving on with this new, redefined life. You started working in fiber or three-dimensional art?
At home. I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still had my loom from childhood and making potholders.
Oh, I said, okay.
And I said, but what can I do unique for Christmas gift? I know. I can make red, green, and white potholders.
Right.
Okay. And I made 76 that year.
Oh, jeez. They all went out as gifts?
As gifts. I mean, it gave everybody two.
Beautiful.
So you could pull your trays and your pots out the oven at Christmas time with your Christmas potholders.
Okay.
Or your cookie sheet with your cookies on it.
Okay. Or they could be on the table. You could put a pot on top of it, right?
Yes.
You know, I said
yes, because that is what people have done.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing that I did, I had a little carpal tunnel in my wrist.
Uh-huh.
And by working the potholders, it helped me, my hands to get limber again.
Right.
This never did open up, but my hands were ball up like that. So that did help my hands to be more useful.
Right. And you noticed that pretty much right away. So manipulating your body, your muscles, and so forth.
Yes.
And that was one way of getting that done. So it's not only the enjoyment of creating the art, it was therapeutic.
It was therapeutic for me also.
As well. Do you have any future aspirations in regards to your arts and crafts, your potholders, any other future plans or ideas for that kind of thing?
If I can help somebody, volunteer and help somebody maybe make potholders or help them with three-dimensional kind of work, because I also have done clay work too, pottery.
Okay.
And if I can help them that way, that's something I would look forward to doing.
So you do paintings as well?
Yes, I did, to give a little background, going a little further, going back a little ways.
Okay.
When I was in high school, I painted a 2.5 by 3 foot picture, slice of an orange.
Okay.
So you had all the tendrils.
Right.
Tendrils were very big. And showed the light shining on this thing and outlined it. And then I built up the art for the outside of the orange. And
now, when you said you built it up, you made it
I mean, I built it up with the palette knife on the canvas.
Laying that paint on thick.
Yeah, laying it on thick and solid color. And
right.
That work got selected for the Tall Hummus Art Show. That built my confidence. And then when I went to governor's school, I did a print in the printmaking machine, which it makes the pages come up in places, and then you can print the ink on it.
Now, did you use wood block, metal block,
No, that
zinc?
Was a printmaking machine. I cut out cardboard.
Oh, cardboard, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was your block.
Yeah, my blocks. And then I put the ink on top.
Sure. Did you roll the ink on?
The machine did the printing.
Yeah, sure.
And with the ink.
Okay.
And Mr. Harry Mac Williamson helped me with that. And so then it was about 2.5 feet by 1.5 feet print that I did.
Okay. Man, that was,
Yeah, so I was real proud of getting into that form of art.
Yeah. So you're like an all-around creator.
Well, yes.
No. Okay.
And I made
say
jewelry,
loud,
too.
Look, say it loud, say it proud. You're an all-around creator.
Thank you.
Because now we must add music to that palette of talents you have.
Yes, I was raised on piano lessons.
Right.
And when I got to high school, someone at church asked me, would I be willing to play piano for church devotions for Sunday school?
Okay.
And I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And playing for the public.
Okay. Do you play anymore or not?
Well, I had a keyboard, but I didn't memorize much music, so I just could play one or two songs, and they're getting tired of hearing me playing those over and over again.
Okay.
But being real about it, you know. But yeah, I had learned how to play a wide variety of music.
Okay. I can hear somebody now. Cut that noise out. Play a different song.
You sounded like my dad.
Complete this sentence for me. What makes Jan special?
I care about people.
Okay, you care about people?
And I want to see them be, if I can help them be, have their situation be better, I like to try to do it.
Okay.
That's my basic me. Basic me.
What is special about this day for you personally? This particular day?
This day, I'm being able to expose myself to the world and let people know that the variety of things that handicapable people can do.
Okay. Okay. And this is the anniversary of the death of your mother?
Yes.
Okay. How long has she been deceased?
4 years. 4 years.
Oh, 4 years. Okay.
She was a very spry person.
Mm-hmm.
She liked to be active.
Okay. So now, is there anything special that you, as a routine or annual celebration that you do, you and the family do, to memorialize her or honor her?
We do go visit her.
Okay.
Oh, Duke Ellington. My mother is crazy about Duke Ellington.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, did she know him or just loved his music?
Loved his music.
Yeah, yeah. Very
good. And my father's favorite song to dance to was Satin Doll.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Now, do y'all put that on, like on a day like today?
Yes, we did.
Oh, do you? Okay,
yes.
Okay. I was at a funeral yesterday. My son's grandmother passed. But yeah, it's one of those things that the longer we live, the more we do experience these things, and then we take the place of those that came before us. Are there any words of wisdom that you would like to leave for others?
I have a rhyme that I came up with. Pace it, don't race it.
Pace it, don't race it.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Why is that important?
Because if you pace it, you can get things done more clearly and more completely.
Okay.
Than just running from project to project.
Very good. Yeah. You're not as scattered. You're more focused.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a model for you to live by as well?
Yes. That's what I came up with that quote from me and anyone else who gone through some similar situations.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a T-shirt. I like it.
Yeah, I taught briefly.
Okay.
At Howard University. I was a substitute teacher for quite a long time.
Okay. And what department, may I ask?
I did whatever they needed me, but mostly in the home economics and art and English.
Right.
English departments.
Okay. Okay. Any other words, anything else you would like to share about your life, about you, your family, before we get off the air here?
If you come into a situation like this, don't give up.
Okay. And come into a situation like this, meaning a disability.
Any disability.
Any kind of major challenge.
Major challenge to your life.
Don't give
keep
up.
Keep trying to do better and increase your skills.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And try to stay in the midst of life as it was before.
Right.
And you stay in the middle of things. Don't stay at home in the corner.
Right. Right. Don't hide away.
Don't hide away and withdraw from people.
Sure. Sure. Which was some of the stories I was hearing when my eyes went that I knew I had to come up with something to offer the vision impaired community. And that's how I came up with this idea. Because I heard too many stories of people hiding away, not coming back out, not engaging life. Yeah.
I went to the Department of Visually Handicapped to learn how to use my cane and to learn Braille.
Okay.
But then I joined Club Rec to be social.
Right, right. Which is important, right? We need those as social outlet.
Be more like in the real realm of life.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you are. We heard it from Jan Flowers, my guest today. For those of you interested in being considered for Shards of Light, call Virginia Voice at 804-266-2477. Email me, Lamont Crawley, at myvoiceforsoul@gmail.com. That is my voice, the number 4, S-O-L, at gmail.com. Or you could text me at 804-514-5890. Or use that same contact information to give us any feedback you might have for today's show or any other past episodes of Shards of Light. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again, take care.